You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review, where each week I review the best and most interesting episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience. This podcast, and I say it every time, it's getting old, but it's just to make it very clear that what this does. I have no affiliation to Joe Rogan's podcast. I am like the news is to current events. So current events being Joe's podcast and the news being me, where I just have a guest on. This week I have on Mark.
Hello.
And basically I just break down all the parts that were interesting, something that was inspiring. This podcast has been around a long time, and Joe is doing fantastic work. So it's just a shout out to all of that. Not that he needs it, but I enjoy doing this. This week, one of my favorite guests was on podcast 1210, Tom Papa. Tom Papa is a very old friend of Joe Rogan and a fantastic comedian, a guy that often brings bread to the show as a bit of a gift for Joe because he makes bread. And recently, I think it's the Discovery Channel, has picked him up and given him a show where he just goes around the country going to different bakeries and talking about bread.
That show's got life, let me tell you.
One season bakeries done. But, you know, he's a funny guy. Maybe he can make it work. I haven't seen it. But it's cool that he got it just from bringing bread on.
Please tell me it's called Yeast Infected.
Oh, God, that would be amazing. Yeah.
I'm Tom Papa, and this is Yeast Infected.
You know, I think he's taking it really seriously. And it's like, he has funny parts, but it's about the bread. They start their conversation talking about...
So it's like Russia in the 90s.
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, please, give me bread.
Please, I have waited 4 hours for Tom Papa's bread. It must be very good, yes? Feed my whole family for 1 month. Like it's elven bread from Lord of the Rings.
That's it. That's Oh, yeah, you're going to eat it for months. Yeah, so that is his show in a nutshell. We've basically broken that down. Neither of us have watched it, but we've made harsh generalizations, and now you know what to expect.
You absolutely know what the show is about and have no need to watch it.
God bless him. I wonder if anyone is watching. Some people are.
Somebody will watch the show about bread.
Yeah.
Discovery Channel has, I mean, if you think about it.
There's cupcake shows.
They have cupcake shows and catching tuna and hurricanes of ice shows and, like, just people living in the wilderness of Alaska,
which is probably all fake.
And then they have
super
just like
fake,
all fake.
They're like, oh look, he's found this and caught this thing, and no, it was they just gave it to him. They bought it. They stuck it on the end of the rod.
Actually, and I might be in violation of my NDA right now, but I work on Last Alaskans, and that shit's real.
Is it?
They are some fucking mountain men.
That seems
and they
like
do some shit. They know what they're talking about.
At least they're catching some stuff. But you can imagine on
shows... No spoilers. I have not spoiled that they catch the elk and eat it.
But you could imagine that some shows, it's like, yeah, we usually are good at catching these things, and the day that everyone shows up, they can't get shit.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to throw some things in that direction.
Oh, yes. I will not name shows, but working in reality TV, there is a lot that is... staged.
Yeah, guaranteed. Well, it has to be. It has to
Well, it does, and you know, it's fine. Because it's, I don't know, it's not completely disingenuous. Their intent is real.
Yeah. Now, right now, Mark and I are drinking, what is this? Good whiskey?
This is JT Boots whiskey. This was on sale at CVS.
And do you know, do you know much about whiskey? Are you a whiskey guy?
I am a whiskey guy.
Yeah?
But I wouldn't say I know a lot about it. I just know like what I like.
Now, that's interesting, because Joe and Tom Papa started off their podcast really just talking about wines. And Tom was telling a story about how a wine guy... was helping him in the store and was just like, oh, you wouldn't believe that, like, super passionate, knew his shit, worked at the wine store, though. So didn't have a lot of money for expensive wine bottles. Mm-hmm. But he was like, this for $15, no one knows about it, best damn thing you'd ever imagine.
Those are the wine guys I like. Yeah. These, the people
you
that
need
are
help.
Snobs
I don't
about
have
wines,
time for this shit.
I hate snobs about wines. But the people are like, dude, this one's $9. It's amazing. That happened at Trader Joe's Thanksgiving. This dude... admittedly had a social awareness problem because he lingered far too long. But he did recommend a very good wine, and I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to get this one. He's like, awesome. And then he proceeded to point out 30 more wines, and I was like, Jesus. And I was finally like, I'm good, dude. Thanks.
No, you're doing a great job. I only came for one. It's an important point because Joe was talking about how, you know, it's not always worth it to spend a lot on wine, obviously. And one time Joe was out at a restaurant somewhere eating, and he said, you know what, fuck it, let's get this wine from like the 70s. It was like the top one. Tasted it, and he was like, wasn't even that good. He was like saying that the $15 one that Tom Bopper bought was probably better that day, yet that wine they had that day was $1,000.
Because most of the time, a wine is going to reach its peak flavor within 8 to 10 years.
Is that...
Yeah. So after that, it's just bragging rights, really. Yeah, and like, look how much dust is on this bottle.
And that's interesting, right? Because Joe, in this conversation, brought up something that he knows a lot about. Now, he doesn't know a lot about wines, but he knows a lot about pool and pool cues, right? It's bizarre, but he's into this. And
somebody's going to know it.
Well, he knows everything, as much as he can, about the things that he's into, right? So he's talking about these pool cues, and he says a lot of times the same thing. Like, the most expensive pool cue in the world is, like, so heavy you can't even play with it.
Mm.
So there's just some people that have, like, make these masterpieces of, like, kind of pool art, and it's just not usable. Then there's other ones that are, like, from people that have died, so their pools are over, their cues are overpriced, and then there's another style of cue out there where it's just, like, not a knockoff, but it's, like, ones that they can make tons of, but they're just as straight and just as good, and they're kind of like the $15 bottle of wines. You know, you can play some great fucking pool with them, but save a lot of money, and it was an interesting, like, connection that he made. In a way, you could look at that with probably Tom Popper and his fucking bread. It's like people do specialize in these different areas, and it doesn't always mean just forking out the cash to make it.
No, money isn't always the difference.
Yeah,
sometimes it is. Like hotels, it is.
The hotels, you know, 100%
is. It's like, oh, Red Roof Inn for $49.95 a night.
Anytime you think you're getting an amazing deal down in like Cabo or somewhere, so good, it doesn't even make sense. And they're like ocean views, guaranteed. You're looking at a brick wall.
Oh, guaranteed.
And they'll be like, well, that building wasn't there when we wrote it.
Right?
In broken English that barely came across in your question.
They're like, hey, man, the chalk outline is impressionistic art. Yeah. I'm like, no, it was a murder scene.
They just draw a picture of, like, the ocean on the wall. You're like,
yes.
Come on.
It's the Beach Boys' first album, man. This is not ocean view.
Which one of you stoners did that? Talking about things you can't trust at all, they were talking a little bit about comics that don't have comedian friends. So there are even some big ones that don't have any. They didn't name names, which I wish they had. You could imagine it would be like, I don't know, like maybe Jim Gaffigan, or like people that never show up at the store. Maybe don't have... No, I'm not saying that is a fact. I'm just throwing it out there. It's like someone that you never really see around other comedians or in other comedy spots. He just tours on his own, does his own thing, and that's fine.
Or they're kind of like maybe posers, or they're like actors where they wanted to be actors, and so they use stand-up as a route, and then the minute they got their acting jobs, they're like, fuck stand-ups, I hate them.
Maybe something,
and who can blame them, because we are horrible human beings.
You're right. But there's an affinity to each other.
No, there is.
Right? So Joe was talking about that in the sense of, like, you know, he thinks it comes from the fact there were very few spots in the past. Like, you would get on Letterman before that Carson, and it was just like, after that, hopefully you got movies or like TV sitcom, and there were just so few spots. And you see that in that show I'm dying up here, that Showtime one about the comedians, which is awesome. You've seen that, right?
Starring my friend Brandon Green is Richard Pryor.
There we go.
Yeah.
And I mean, it does seem more brutal back then than it is today.
It was. Because, I mean, nowadays it's...
But it doesn't need to be. I don't think it makes better comedians. It just makes
so
thicker-skinned people.
Yeah, because I don't think... I
just
want
to get to the best comedy.
Yeah, period. I don't think going through the gauntlet, because, I mean, that's kind of a, it's a group of bullies, right? It's, I don't think going through the gauntlet of bullies makes you a better comic. And it, to be perfectly honest,
not necessarily,
I think,
yeah.
I think it just... maybe it, sometimes it gets rid of the comics that have something to say, but they're like, I mean, like, I, the first person I think of is Kate Miguchi from the two-woman group. What's the name of it? Somebody else is listening to it and going, I know what it is. Garfunkel Notes.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's got this kind of weird character where she's this awkward girl, and she's fucking brilliant. But can you imagine, like, she goes up her first time, like, doing stand-up, she's going to sing the song, and it's just a bunch of mean girls, and they just destroy her? Does she want to do it again? I mean, maybe she does, because she's fucking genius, and she's got a drive, but I don't know, maybe it weeds people out that don't need to be.
100%.
I don't think you need to destroy people. I definitely don't think destroying somebody's self-confidence breeds better art, or no. breeds better comedy, because they don't believe in themselves, and they might actually have something interesting to say. And then there's just shitty comics that, like, go away.
We definitely lost probably some great comics because of that sort of thing. I mean, in a I way, so. Hedberg talks about it.
Yeah.
So Mitch would do his one-liners, mm-hmm. and people just knew him. They remember him, so they'd shout him out before he got a chance to get finished. He used to have such social anxiety, sometimes he'd do his whole set from behind the curtain, which was quite funny for right. everyone. But it was like, what's the real truth here? The real truth is to find a way for this great man to feel as comfortable up on stage. Now, sure, we can't get into a world of babying everyone. This shit is supposed to be scary. It's supposed to be terrifying.
And it is terrifying.
But I like the fact, at least in America, here, they tell, look, no heckling. You do it over and over, they kick you out.
And I like that.
Throw off the... Sometimes it's cool to have a bit of back and forth.
I'm not going to lie. I've not had a heckler. I look forward to my first one.
Wait till your next show. I'll step up.
The bitch-ass hostess will, like, kick you. But, like, excuse me, sir.
Yeah, really.
And I'll be like, no, let him stay.
I'll tell him.
We practiced this bit.
I know, that would be so bad. Boo,
you suck.
You suck. But, you know, the whole thing of community with these comics is, like, Tom Papa was talking about. Yeah, people want to belong. Right, you want to belong to something. You got to have your tribe, and you've got to know who your tribe needs to be.
Your pack.
Then he brings up, this is why religion exists. So they jump into the conversation of the Catholic Church, which Joe is always on about, and he's like, "That's fucked up. What about the rape?" And that's a brutal issue that comes up. But in a weird way, I think Joe does it because it's not talked about enough. You know,
the rape.
Yeah, it's just like. The child rape in the Catholic Church. And I'm not saying that I have an opinion either way. I think, I'm just saying that's why I think Joe brings it up. You know, I think that he, you know, is looked into this. It is happening.
Well,
people don't like to point this shit out.
I'll point it out all day. And like, for the couple of people listening, I think, I mean, yeah, the rape is horrible. And you can talk about all the reasons. You can talk about the cover-ups. You can talk about the...
That's all the worst part.
And that's the worst
part. But
you have a systemic problem within the Catholic Church. I can say this with authority, having grown up Catholic, having had a family member who was abused by a Catholic priest. This actually happened. And I can say the problem is systemic. When you only have males in these roles, and when they have to be celibate, a lot of times it becomes a refuge for deviancy. And suppression breeds deviancy.
100%.
It just does.
Yeah.
You are going to just...
Well, this is what Joe talks about. He says it's all fucked and it has to change.
It's all fucked and it does have to change.
This shit is doing. And then they talk about, you know, why there is evil, or if there is evil, right? So, does it exist? It's such a weird thing. It's like, look, people have just had fucked up lives, and they do fucked up things.
Yeah, evil is like, evil's a word for Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter. It's just not black and white. Are there people born psychopaths who literally, like, hear voices, or they don't have a moral center of their brain developed, and they think, I'm literally working on a show right now that's talking about this person. This kid was clearly a psychopath, and it's all about how he grew up to murder people, and now he's in jail, and his mom his entire life was like, oh my god, he's a psychopath. We need to get him into a psych ward and, like, try and treat it. But he was, like, he clearly had those morality issues.
Some people's brains just don't fucking work.
They're just
work
not.
Right.
So, is he evil, quote unquote, or is he just have a fucked up brain? It's just evil is such a.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just such a fucking.
It was
fantasy.
A great part of their conversation because mm-hmm. they both had, like, a different take on it.
Yeah.
Tom Papa was taking a bit of a, like, a religious stance, like, that bad people are evil because he's Catholic and, you know, and
sure,
Joe
sure,
has
sure.
moved away from that and is just analyzing on a spectrum of behavior. And
well,
just
that's
saying,
where I line
it's
up.
Like, yeah, and it only makes sense to look at it that way because you can't take any scale and then just get to one point and be like, well, you're one point of... below evil.
Right,
it's
right.
like, how did evil get on?
It's not the pH scale.
Exactly. It's like
you are 3.2 evil.
Yeah. It just
should add some baking soda.
It's not like you get to 100 degrees and you're Satan. It's just, it doesn't
right.
make any sense.
Although that would be awesome.
That would be funny, right? It'd be way easier to find people.
Two more stamps and I'm Satan.
So
and
then,
I get a free sub sandwich.
So then they talk about, like, what, you know, beyond on the bigger picture of things, of like what we're doing, why we're here, we got religions we create for people to guide people and then try and help others, and it's like, what the fuck are most of us doing? And they talk about how most of us, in the successful ones especially, because they, you know, if you're like a banker or you know, you're just making money, but you're having one of those, you're having a very corporate-y job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, for a lot of people, is not fun, even if you're making a lot of money. Because
it's
you
not.
Have
it's
to just mold yourself
sucking.
Into this, like, creature that you are not and never existed in nature.
You have to laugh at the stupid corporate jokes on the posters.
Yeah,
and
if
just,
you
like,
aren't
giving
actually
your soul up.
Genuinely laughing at them, you're fucking batshit.
You've already
anyway.
Lost it. You're already in extra innings on your life.
Yeah, so people take, they get paid, and then they just buy shit. Because
yeah.
they're like, I don't know what else to do to feel better. But people that love their jobs don't do that as much. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
People that really love what they do, they're like, oh, I don't need to buy a new car. Sure, I have the money for it. But, like, I'm not trying to escape this other thing that I do. And I really love that point. I felt like that was fascinating.
Well, and you feel free to disagree. But when I'm happiest, I watch the least amount of TV. And I buy the least amount of shit. I'm not trying to fill some hole or void.
Yeah.
I'm just having fun. And I'm active. And I'm moving forward. I'm being creative. I'm being physical. I'm engaged. That's
yeah.
happiness
you,
to me.
You're like filling that hole with like. Stuff
yeah
exercise, creativity, exciting things.
I think
you don't need to jump on Amazon.
Yeah,
God, that shit is addictive
because it's
fuck
but,
you Amazon
totally.
For making that so amazing. I ordered 5 things today.
Eat a dick, Jeff Bezos. By the way, I expect my Prime order by tomorrow.
Yeah, I do appreciate how easy you've made shopping.
It's actually really great. And, and so is the Marvelous Miss Maisel. That's an amazing show. Jeff Bezos, please don't leave us. Take over everything.
He is good. He is good.
Is
and
really
on that
good.
Note, ladies and gentlemen, that is the conversation reviewed for today. Check out the Tom Papa podcast with Joe. They're always the best conversations. Those two communicate in such a fantastic way. They're such good friends. Tom Papa's so easygoing. There's no misinterpretations. They're just good opinions, good conversations,
and
I absolutely
good bread.
Love it. So thanks for joining, and thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Peace.